This is Perspectives, the show where a conversation about our many differences often shows us more about the things we have in common. I'm Candace Presley. My guest today is Archie L. Jones, Jr. He's local. He's a Morehouse man, a Harvard business professor, business executive, CEO of the Next Gen Coach Network, an organization he founded to help and to empower the next generation of leaders. And he's brought one of those leaders with him, founder of a company called Brown Toy Box. She's Terry and Michelle Bradley, and we welcome them both. But Archie Jones, did I see you've published a new book since we last talked? Tell us.
The book is called The Treasure You Seek, A Guide to Developing and Leveraging Your Leadership Capital. And I'm so glad to have that out. It tries to share with everyone the lessons that I've had the fortune to work with great folks like Terry on, entrepreneurs who are building their businesses or leaders who are trying to chase their dreams. So glad that that's out there and available for everyone.
Terry Michelle Bradley is the founder of a company called Brown Toy Box. It's Atlanta-based, female minority-owned, achieving spectacular growth. Terry Michelle, why don't you just tell us a little bit about Brown Toy Box and also how you came to work with Mr. Jones?
Awesome. Sure. So Brown Toy Box really is where the future meets fun, right? We are on a mission to spark joy and to cultivate curiosity in kids everywhere through our toys, books, games that really celebrate inclusion and that inspire kids' dreams, right? I met Archie probably like 4 years ago. I was, and still am, a member of the Russell Center, the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs. And Archie came in and we just kind of, we connected and we hit it off, and he's been a coach advisor ever since.
Archie, remind our listeners how you became the Next Gen Coach.
You know, I became known as the Next Gen Coach. I had spent my career in private equity, helping entrepreneurs grow and scale their business, and realized about 5 years ago, actually, during my time at Leadership Atlanta, where I got to do some introspection on when was I happiest and most effective. And the answer came back when I was coaching. And so since then, I've spent time making sure that I organize my portfolio career around that. So I sit on some boards, both nonprofit and for-profit. As you pointed out, I teach. So I'm a professor at the Harvard Business School. And I also still do some investing and now run the Next Gen Coach Network with the idea of taking some of those business school lessons and making them available to entrepreneurs who haven't made it yet to the Harvard Business School campus, like Terry Bradley. She now gets the benefit of all of those insights, all of those lessons as she grows, scales her business, and creates opportunity.
Terry, what inspired Brown Toy Box, and how has the company evolved since its inception in 2017?
Yeah, so it just at the basis of the Brown Toy Box was really about looking for my purpose, right? I had a career in corporate communication, and I felt very unfulfilled, and I was really looking for my purpose. And I was like, what is this that I'm supposed to be doing with this other, the next part of my life, the next chapter of my life, right? And I've been reading a lot about this leaky pipeline in STEM. And I thought, there's something that we can do about that. I am also a mother. And I really thought about, you know, things that I wish that my kids had had when they were kids. And kind of that's really kind of how Brown Toy Box first came about. We started as a subscription box. In 2018, failed fast, relaunched as a subscription box later in 2019. And it was during the pandemic, we were able to evolve from a curator of STEM toys and books and things like that to a creator of our own IP. And we've just been off to the races since then.
Archie, what drew you to mentor Terry, and what qualities did you see in her that made you want to invest your time and your knowledge in her vision?
I think she just touched on a couple of those key words in there. I love that she described it as an unfulfilled leader. Now, she was already leading in another career and profession, but hadn't found yet what her passion was or her real purpose. And I love helping leaders guide themselves or work themselves toward that passion. And it's a scary journey. We talk often about a favorite quote that, you know, the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. And I can only imagine, I wasn't there at the time she made that change. But as entrepreneurs and leaders like Terry make that change from the known and the familiar to their purpose, it's a journey. And I love taking that journey with them. I've had the pleasure and the fortune to take more than a few people on that journey and go on that journey myself. And so I've got some lessons, some scar tissue, and some wisdom that comes out of that that I think all of them can benefit from. And I was so happy to, when I met Terry, I could see all of that, that she was on that mission, on her journey, and anything that I could do to offer even just a little bit of help, I was excited to do.
Terry, could you share some of the key lessons that you've learned?
So Archie talks about these five C's in building your leadership capital, right? And so one of the things that I think the one that it all centers back to is confidence, right? So really kind of growing in my confidence to be in rooms or to lean into my community and my connections, or, you know, how I communicate and how I show up in the world, and just knowing that, you know, I am exactly who I'm supposed to be. And I am the person that's supposed to be in the room, that's been chosen to lead Brown Toy Box and all these different things, right? And so really growing my, evolving my confidence in that way. There were, you know, when Archie talks about those caves, my caves were around my financials, right? And one of the things about Archie, you know, he's got all these amazing accolades, but one of the things that, you know, really drew me to Archie is his empathy, right? And you're really connecting with him in that way. And I think a lot of that really comes across in his book as well. But it was really just being able to connect on a level of, I know there's fear here, and let me help walk you through that and coach you through that. And that was just really a game changer for me.
Archie, you emphasize the importance of soft skills in entrepreneurship. Could you speak a little bit more on which specific soft skills are critical for success in business?
Sure. Terry mentioned the five C's. Thank you, Terry. The leadership capital five C's that are, you know, outlined in the book. I think there's a couple that are, well, I think all of them are important. I'll point to a couple. One, culture is one of the C's. And we talk about getting comfortable in your own skin, bringing all of your legacy and history with you, even some of that legacy and history that you may not think is valuable or is very positive. A lot of those things, when you look at them on the other side, actually speak to your tenacity, speak to your ability to persevere. I think the other two are communication and connection. Those two soft skills, you know, telling yourself a different story so you can tell the world a different story is key. And then that connection, I really believe the answer is in your network. And so your ability to be an effective networker, not only asking for help, but also offering help because you bring some expertise to the table, I think are the three soft skills that I think every entrepreneur and every leader can continue to grow and build on their journey.
Terry, Archie talked about culture, communication, connection. How have you applied the soft skills that you've learned from him in building and leading Brown Toy Box?
One of the things about Archie is it's not even really about teaching you those things. It's helping you uncover those things, right? Discover those things that are already kind of latent in you, right? And so it really is about, one of the things that he does this assessment. He's like, you have all these things, but you don't feel comfortable asking for help. You need to understand, you need to dig into why that is, right? And for a lot of women, particularly women entrepreneurs, that is a challenge and a hurdle that we have to overcome, is being able to ask people for help because of whatever we think that perception about us will be if we say we don't know, right? And so getting comfortable in the I don't know, but let me find out, or this is something that I'm uncomfortable with, but let me figure out and learn more about it, right? So I think those kind of things, digging into my connections, right? So we haven't been heavily funded, but I have amazing connections, right? So that has helped me be able to, last week I went to the White House, you know, and did some things about, you know, around STEM and STEM engagement with the Department of Education. And we got a new game that we're launching with Microsoft that was in-kind partnership, right? Digging into those relationships. So none of these things would have come about without me really leaning into my connections and building my relationships and ensuring, you know, one of the things that Archie and I both are very clear on is that, you know, you never want to make transactional relationships, right? You want to have real authentic relationships. And so I think that is one of the reasons why a lot of people enjoy working with us, right? We bring our culture into some of these relationships that they would not be able to get into certain rooms, or they don't understand the audience that we're serving and that kind of thing. So we're able to lean into our culture with pride and be able to bring that to the table and help them be able to grow their footprint in a certain area. So it's definitely been advantageous for me to really lean into those soft skills.
What was it that helped you to recognize whatever that stumbling block was that was in front of you? And then what did you do to get past it?
Yeah, it was the thing that I avoided the most, right? So it was always the thing. So I'll tell a quick story. So Archie, when we first started working together, I was doing investor calls. And I'd be talking about the brand, the mission, all those things. And then we would get to the numbers. And I would just be like a deer in the headlights. And I would be like, hey, Archie, are you on mute? Right? Because we would be doing this via Zoom, right? Because I was trying to say, you jump in, you take over, that kind of thing, right? Because I just felt such a level of intimidation about talking to these finance people about my finances, right? And so it was really about doing the work to get more confident about talking about the numbers, right? It's great that you can talk about your business, but your business is your numbers, right? So the mission and all that stuff is important, but how do you make money? And so that was one of the things where, you know, I was able to kind of ease into that, but really grow my confidence around those things. And that has been a game changer for me.
Can I add something in there? Because that's a great example. And I think there's a big piece of that of making, you know, what is uncomfortable, comfortable. As Terry said, she's a great storyteller. And, you know, all we're doing in the financials is telling a financial story. And so as we started weaving that into the product story and the strategy story so that it wasn't this separate and apart thing, I think that's part of how we were able to make that more comfortable. And I think that's a lot of the work of a coach is to give you some repetitions, give you some practice at it. We did spend some time practicing with it, but it was making it comfortable so that it wasn't that far outside of what she was already doing. And it wasn't this or, am I talking about the company or am I talking about the numbers? There was this and in there that I'm embellishing on, or I'm rounding out the story that I'm telling, and I've got all of these great things to tell about the product and the strategy. Let me give you a few numbers just to highlight that. And that was, I think that was a real turning point.
What do you think sets your approach to leadership and entrepreneurship coaching apart from others who are in this field?
No, I think the biggest thing is the approachability of it. Again, I started out, my father's an entrepreneur and mother's a teacher. And so I kind of grew up in, you know, with living in both camps. And so I internalized these things as a pretty young child. And so I still think of it some ways in those terms, even though I've been to great schools like Morehouse and Harvard Business School, and we can talk in fancy terms and concepts. Like Terry just said, we can bring it back to just basic terms. And I think that's where I build that bridge is, let's not get caught up or let's not get lost in fancy nomenclature, but let's just get back to what we're really doing here. As a business, Terry is, you know, having broader societal impact, but as a business owner and really running the financial side, she's trying to sell more and spend less. Now we can put that in a whole bunch of fancy terms and different financial statements, but that's what she's got to do ultimately. And I think it's that ability to really meet entrepreneurs and leaders where they are and to make it simple so that they can start from where they are. And some of these are not like Terry, who's already on the path. I spend a lot of time with aspiring leaders or leaders who are undiscovered. They haven't even really found their leadership, and to help them dig and to find that within. But it is just that starting with plain language, plain terms, and then building from there.
Your book draws from core lessons that have been taught in Harvard classrooms. How have you adapted these lessons to make them accessible and applicable to diverse entrepreneurs?
You know, what I've put in the book is not only, you know, these insights of here's some of these, and the five C's lays them out, and whether it's capability, where you're looking for your superpower. I think where a lot of lessons fall short is that they tell you this great thing, you've got this insight, but then it's, okay, how do I put this into practice? And what I really tried to do is, and it's one of the things that we do at the Harvard Business School in the case method, by having students kind of get their hands dirty and wrestle with these questions, I asked the readers to do the same thing in the book. I asked them some of these questions of themselves. I talked about the cave you're afraid to enter, and I asked them the question, let's start exploring, how do you figure out what that cave is, and how do you start tiptoeing into it? If you talk about culture, how do you start doing some of that research, if you will, into your past, and maybe even some of that paradigm shift? And so one of the things that the book is, I think, unique in doing as it speaks to leaders is not only offering a new concept, but then offering some exercises and ways for you to actually try to apply that to make it come alive for you.
Terry, was the cave of the financials the one that you were most struggling with getting into, or were there others?
No, there were others, right? So I think most people, particularly when you think about Black entrepreneurs, the ones that go out on the limb to become entrepreneurs were probably the ones that were most successful in their corporate careers, that kind of thing, right? And so there was a little bit of a this kind of survivor's remorse kind of thing, where as soon as someone in my family would see something on in the news, they'd be calling me, "Hey, can I borrow whatever," right? That kind of thing, right? So really understanding the dynamic, right? And being able to have some tough conversations with family, the same kind of tough conversations you might have with, an employee or with, other vendors or whatever else. But I had this thing where I had to really say, I've got to prioritize my business first, right? I can't help anyone if I don't make sure that this business is successful. So being able to have those really challenging conversations and not be and be okay with the fact that people might be upset with me, right? So that was one of those caves. Like, I didn't want to disappoint the family. I didn't want them to feel like I thought I'd made it and I was leaving everybody behind. And so I was like, well, you know what? I gotta change my thinking around that, right? And know what, what they see isn't exactly what's happening behind the scenes. And I've just got to continue to do the work. And so once I really realized that was another major cave that I had been afraid to go into, I started just really having those kind of conversations with them. And I would start, have you bought anything? Have you ever bought a Brown Toy Box toy? Right. And they say, no, that makes the conversation even easier. So yeah.
Kindness, let me give you another one. I'm gonna tell on Terry a little bit because you wouldn't know it because she's so confident as she's speaking now. But she's an introvert and will tell you that she is. And I think that's one of them. She worked on that one before we met, but she's gotten comfortable telling her story and telling the company story. Even though it's not probably her natural state to, even though she does wonderful in front of the camera, in front of audiences, is not her natural state. And I think that's one that a lot of people suffer from is again, that it goes back to communication, but getting comfortable, just kind of telling your story and what you'd like to do and where you'd like to go.
Yeah, Archie really did help me with that quite a bit because, I'm a Midwestern girl. We're always taught to be very humble, right? Don't brag, don't think too high of yourself, that kind of thing. So really being able to tell your story, right? And realize that as you tell your story, you don't know who you're going to inspire or who you're going to help. And that kind of goes back to what he was talking about before about, not only what you take, but what you give back, right? And so I think that when I started reframing that in my mind, it became a lot easier.
As a leader of color, Terry, what unique challenges have you faced building and scaling Brown Toy Box, and how did you navigate those?
Yeah, there's so many. We could take the day for that one. President Bush used to have this quote where we would talk about the soft bigotry of low expectations. And that comes from champions. And that also comes from people who, just people who don't believe in you at all, right? And so, a lot of those things were like just taking that head on, right? And the best way that I can to prove you wrong is to just keep doing the work, right? So I don't go out of my way to try and prove anything to anybody. Just watch me work is really became my attitude about it, right? And so I think finding folks to, building that circle, building those connections, building that network of other people that will speak my name and speak Brown Toy Box in rooms of opportunity has been really critical for the growth of the company. And then also identifying people like Archie and some of my other advisors that they're at the pinnacle of success, right? But that they will, I feel safe asking questions too, right? That's really important. Right, to say, I don't know. Help me understand this, right? Because there's this thing where you don't want to ask questions because you don't want people to think that and you don't know, but you don't want them to think that you're incompetent or whatever else. And so really building that network of advisors and trusted mentors around me that I can go to and ask for help. They've been there, they understand, and knowing that it's okay not to know, but it's not okay to just not do anything about not knowing.
Tell me about some of the strategies that you've used to ensure cultural representation and diversity in the products and experiences that Brown Toy Box offers.
Our mission is really rooted in that, right? So we're working to disrupt generational poverty through play, right? So we make sure that our characters are representative of all the characters of the DDC Academy crew. That's our character-driven line. DDC means curious in Swahili, and we say we're always cultivating curiosity, right? And so we want to make sure that from the hair texture, the hues of their skin, the locations that each of the characters are from, kids can see themselves represented. One of my favorite things in the world is not just when kids are excited about it, but when parents come up to me and they're like, I wish I'd had this when I was a kid, right? So because for us, when people think about diversity in toys, they're always thinking about dolls. And what I say is we're not a doll brand, right? We're educational play. So we do everything equal parts learning, equal parts play. And we are very intentional about making sure that we do that. So as we take on new licenses, we have a new license with NFLPA. We are creating STEM kits around the NFLPA players and those kind of things. And with some of the other things that we're taking on, we are really working to disrupt the toy aisle and make sure that when little brown kids run down that aisle, they see positive representation of themselves, and not in a historical lens, but in a very modern, cute, fun way. And that there's still that same rigor and play involved in the products that we're developing.
Archie, what advice do you have for aspiring entrepreneurs, the folks who are listening to us right now and want to be like Terry and come from underrepresented communities who may encounter some of the systemic barriers that exist along that entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, two pieces of advice. One is get started. Too often we think we've got to wait for all of the stars to align before you can get started, and they never will all align. You will always have you always know or believe that you could have a little more financial capital, or I wish I had a little more experience in that, or I wish I had a few more relationships. Get started from right where you are, even if it's starting small. I think of even side hustles as the beginning to an entrepreneurial experience. So you don't have to quit your job today in order to get going to start testing. Entrepreneurship is a lot about testing, and you can start running some of those experiments without jumping into the deep end, so to speak. And then the second part of that is keep going. You're gonna, you know, we often run into a roadblock. Terry mentioned briefly that she started and failed and then started again. I think that is the path that most people find, is this idea of failing forward, and the Nelson Mandela quote of, I never lose. I either win or I learn. And so you think of each of those setbacks as a learning opportunity. That would be my advice to my aspiring entrepreneurs out there.
Terry, what role do you believe early exposure to STEM education and cultural representation, as you've talked about, what role do they play in shaping the future of kids, especially, you know, our Black and brown kids and others from marginalized communities?
Yeah, I think it's critical, right? Though the STEM really is it represents the careers of the future, right? And so as we look at the projected net worth for Black folks in 2053 is $0, right? So that's not for you, me, Archie, that's really for our children and our children's children. And so that early exposure is really about building their confidence to explore those different STEM fields and those STEM careers, right? And so that they will then go on and take the classes and then the majors and then look into those careers and know that they have every right to be there and feel confident in exploring those things, feel confident testing and failing different things, right? Because that's a lot about what STEM is about. And just know that some of those STEM jobs have not even been created yet, but the skills and the thought and all the things that come around with STEM exposure is very important, right? And it can be used in their day-to-day lives. So I'm going to always be an advocate for early STEM exposure. The earlier, the better. And we're going to keep creating products and go until we get down to the babies, right? Because we want to touch all the littles.
Archie, what are your thoughts on the future of entrepreneurship, especially when you look at it through the DE&I lens?
You know, I'm such a proponent of entrepreneurship. Hopefully your viewers and listeners know, you know, just the size of the wealth gap. And if I think of how we're going to make progress against the wealth gap, it's around, I think, a big piece of it. Now, there's a lot of components. I know we got to work on education. We got to work on healthcare. There's all of the components. But I believe entrepreneurship, you know, that ability to create equity and create value for yourself, and for your family and for the next generation, is going to be one of the key areas that's going to allow us to start to close that wealth gap. That's why I'm such a huge proponent, not only of entrepreneurship, but training and developing and supporting those entrepreneurs with all forms of capital, including leadership capital.
Terry, you get the last word on this one. How do our listeners find and connect with Brown Toy Box?
You can go to browntoybox.com, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Target, and you go to local zoos, aquariums, wherever you want to find Brown Toy Box, you pretty much can. But you can start with our website, browntoybox.com.
Terry Nichelle Bradley, founder of Brown Toy Box, and Archie L. Jones Jr., author of The Treasure You Seek, A Guide to Developing and Leveraging Your Leadership Capital. Many thanks to both of you for being on today's show.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us.
Perspectives is a community and public affairs program produced with you in mind. If there's a guest or an issue you'd like to hear me explore, I hope you'd let me know. The easiest way to connect with me is on social media. Just slip me a DM or send me a message. Search Candace Presley on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And yeah, I know you're asking, how do you spell Candace? C-O-N-D-A-C-E. And Presley has two S's. That's P-R-E-S-S-L-E-Y. Friends, I appreciate your listening. Be sure to listen again next week at this same time as we explore new perspectives.